This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at Teachers Week 2016, held at Faith Builders on August 1 through 5.
Before we move into today's topic, I want to make sure that we have clarity on two things. I have a long-winded intro. As you've gone from workshop to workshop this week, you've seen lots of master teachers around the building. You've heard me say idealistic things like demonstrate competence or seek to understand human behavior. And your response could be, but what do I do on the days when I feel totally incompetent? What if instead of trying to understand my students' behavior, I'm struggling to understand myself, much less my most obnoxious and antagonistic student? Maybe I just wasn't meant to be a teacher. I can't answer the long-term question of whether you should be a teacher for the next decade, but I can tell you that you are normal if you experience feelings of incompetence and inadequacy. If time allowed, it would be quite interesting to regale you with tales of my days of disaster in the classroom, the days that left me in tears and on the verge of meltdown. I've had those. I think of the day where I had so many students behaving in my 8th grade classroom back there in the back, and I couldn't put my finger on it. So I made this probably common rookie mistake. If I can't catch them, I'll just punish them all. And had the whole class rebel, including my supervisor's daughter. And that was the day that after school, I'm sitting there with my department supervisor and the administrator of the school, both ladies, and I'm there crying like a baby, and they're praying for me. I've had those days. I'm here to tell you that great teachers are made, not born. Even teachers with great natural ability do not reach their highest potential without going through the school of adversity. And it's in the crucible of the classroom where excellent teachers are molded and shaped. So while I hope that rubbing shoulders with lots of great teachers here this week inspires you, I want to make sure that in the process you don't somehow dismiss them as being made of different stuff, of living at a level that's never attainable, but rather realize that high levels of excellence are reached through perseverance under pressure, through an insatiable desire to learn, and through God's grace in good times, in tough times, and in good times. I want to note one more thing with regard to the session on lesson planning yesterday. For some of you, the six elements of lesson planning were an intriguing new idea. And perhaps you're inspired to go back and try applying this format to your classes. And I'm happy if you do this. But I do want to give some cautions. If you're in a multi-grade setting where you have more than six preps a day, six classes to prepare for in a day, there's scarcely enough time in the day for you to even implement a fully developed lesson plan. You don't have 40-minute class periods. You might have 15-minute class periods. And the reality is that in many of our small schools, the body of the lesson is actually taught by the textbook. The teacher is there to introduce the lesson, inspire interest, make sure the students are headed in the right direction in the text, and then provide assessment as to whether the material was learned or not. And so if you're in a school where reality requires you to do that, please don't feel guilty about that. But I'm encouraging you to experiment. If you're inspired to try formal lesson planning, pick one subject, one. Perhaps the one you've been struggling with in past years, or one where you personally feel like you don't have a very good grasp of the material, and run it through a lesson planning format. And if it works, great. You have it to build on next year. But I just want to caution, I just don't want somebody leaving that has nine preps a day and goes home and tries to do perfect lesson plans for nine preps a day. Remember I said a dead teacher doesn't do much good. And you'll be well on your way to getting to that point if you try that. Pick one. Start. Experiment a little. Build. Excellent teachers build over time. Give yourself the space to bite off only what you can chew this year and then build on it next year. That was a very long-winded introduction, but it's just crucial that our expectations have some level of alignment with reality. So my hat is off to you as you tackle your work this year. Teaching is hard. It can bring tremendous joy, but it does require a lot from us. To sustain this work, we need to give ourselves time and space to grow. So this brings us to our fourth and final priority for the week, the priority of the product. As my illustration for today, I'd like to talk about the role of a shepherd. A while ago, I bought myself a staff. I bought it to use for biblical illustrations. But I do have sheep at home. And as I worked with those crazy things, I realized I needed a tool. And so I finally remembered to bring my staff home from the office. And I discovered that this tool, as shepherds have found for thousands of years, is actually a pretty essential piece. You know, as I work with the flock, this thing's starting to get dirty because this is a tool that shepherds use. I'm not going to do a lot with this staff today, but as a teacher, you are a shepherd. Hopefully you've found a number of tools to work with this week. You're a shepherd that's tasked with managing a flock. And a shepherd is in a very different position than their sheep. A shepherd knows more than the sheep. If you haven't worked with sheep, sheep are not very smart. We had a sheep that got out through that my pigs are poking away at the fence, and apparently they created a hole. So one of the lambs got out repeatedly yesterday. And last evening I was home and I heard this, bah, bah, bah. You know, the crazy lamb for the third time in the day, or however many times it was, got out again. But now it's separated from the flock and it's desperately scared and it's running back and forth, bang, you know. And I try to catch it and send it back with the other lambs, and now it's going to run the other way. It's very hard to teach a sheep anything. The shepherd stands taller and can see farther than sheep can see. Sheep are notorious for not looking where they're going. Where my dad goes to church is right beside a huge pasture filled with sheep, and my dad loves to look out the window during the sermon and watch the sheep. And as he watches the sheep, he said, it's so fascinating. The sheep, they put their head down and they start munching, and then they just walk with their heads down. They don't look where they're going. They just keep munching. And I found it's the craziest thing. I put sheep in a pasture and there's a beautiful tuft of nice grass, clover, and they'll be over here munching on rocks. It's like, hello, right over there. Nope. Sheep don't look where they're going. But as the shepherd, it's your job to stand up and see farther than they can see. The shepherd has more experience than the sheep have had. Sheep, they depend on staying with the flock. You want to kill a sheep, separate it from the flock. It'll be in great distress at the very least. Sheep desperately want to follow other sheep and hang out with other sheep. And if they're with the other sheep, nothing else matters until they get in big trouble. The shepherd is tasked with guiding sheep on the path that's best for them. And so as a teacher, you're the shepherd of a classroom. You have more knowledge than most of your students have. You can see farther than most of your students can see. You've had more experiences than most of your students have had. And you are tasked, in partnership with parents and with the church, in leading them on a path that's safe for them. So as a shepherd, your classroom, how can we get to the desired end, the desired result, the desired product? And I've come back to saying, how do we get there? It requires vision. Teachers can find success in this profession of teaching by visualizing the desired product. If we as the shepherds of our classroom do not have the vision for where this first grader can go and what they can become, how will we ever get them there? Do we have a dream for our students? Do we have a vision of what they can learn and what they can become? Or are their school years simply 12 years of wandering in the wilderness? I heard Linford this morning talking about how to change the music tastes of a community. It is a lifetime task for someone with vision. Without vision, we're like sheep. We go from grass clump to grass clump, and often get ourselves and our communities in deep trouble. So a teacher needs to be a person that has a vision. And the first vision I have is envision the academic outcomes. What are your dreams for your students with regard to academics? Do we want our second graders to become proficient readers? Absolutely. But do we have a vision that extends beyond that? Do we want our students to know that Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492? Yes, we do. But why? Are we fitting that fact into a grander scheme? Do we want our students to be able to divide 63 by 4 and come up with an answer of 15 with a remainder of 3? Yes. But is that all? If that is all the farther that we as a teacher can see, we're a short-sighted shepherd. Do we have a vision that all of language learning, reading, writing, speaking is ultimately about communication, not mechanics? Do we understand that communication is the foundation of a meaningful life? Learning the parts of speech is important, but it's not the point. It's understanding the building blocks of effective communication, communication that allows us to have joyful and meaningful lives, to be able to precisely communicate meaning from being a picture in my head to being able to accurately transfer that image so that we have a common understanding. Imagine a generation of your English students, of people who are excellent communicators, husbands and wives who can minimize misunderstandings because they have the tools to communicate well, parents who convey their deepest values to their children well, in part because they have the vocabulary that expresses their love, their dreams, and their faith. Pastors that can paint vivid pictures of our Creator and convey the deep truths of our faith because they have the right communication tools. Business people who can skillfully connect the needs of customers with valued products that they offer. Relationships that thrive because we have the tools that allow us to share our experiences in the deepest of ways. Imagine a generation that's equipped to communicate the best news of the universe to those who have not yet comprehended it. This is the goal of our language and English classes. Do we have a vision for mathematics that extends beyond addition, square roots, prime numbers, and solving for X? Are our students catching the understanding that mathematics is simply an attempt to comprehend the order with which God has created the universe? Our little system of trying to capture an understanding of God's order is just one more expression of love for our Creator. Learning to cooperate with the programming code that God used for the universe in the realities of subtraction and multiplication and accounting can be an act of worship for our God. Can we see far enough over the horizon to understand that social studies and history are not about memorizing names, dates, and places? History is a story. It's a story of people. The story that explains who we are and where we fit in. History is the story that teaches the patterns that people follow and repeat over and over and over again. Although they often give those patterns new names and slightly different packaging in different generations. Do our students understand that names and dates and places are simply shelves on which to store the ideas and patterns that humans repeat over and over and over and over again? Are our students understanding that those who fail to understand national histories, family histories, church histories, if they don't understand them, they're doomed to repeat the mistakes of previous generations over and over? Do we understand the urgency of learning history and the freedom that can come from identifying and avoiding the mistakes of the past? Can you tell I love history? Do we have a vision for an end product in science beyond memorizing a bunch of cool facts and being able to get a good paying job? Do our students get it, that studying science is a worshipful act of exploring our God's endless creativity? whether we're dissecting snakes, watching chimney swifts come into roost, or studying the periodic table of the elements, or as I prefer to say it, the periodic table of the elephants. Do our students have a reverential awe of a God who's created an endless treasure hunt in creation? Do we and our students have the clarity of understanding to grasp that investing our lives in discovering these hidden treasures of creation and learning how to use them for the benefit of others can be a sacred calling? Do we have a compelling vision for the academic outcomes in our classroom? And if we do, are our students getting glimpses of it? Are we showing it to them? Are we intentionally sharing that vision? Do we have a vision for the academic outcomes in our classroom? Do we have a vision, number two, for the behavioral outcomes of our classrooms? As shepherds in our classrooms, are we envisioning students as servants in this generation? Are we teaching and modeling what it means to be a person who finds joy in serving? Are our students getting practice in identifying needs and implementing creative solutions? Are our students being nurtured and encouraged to step up, to protect the weak, to give comfort to the hurting, and to stand for truth against the tide? Are our students becoming consumers of content and entertainment? Or are they growing as thoughtful and intentional people who are willing to invest their lives in causes that matter? The forces of the electronic entertainment world are sweeping many of our young people off their feet. I hear far too many voices sounding the alarm, framing the conversations in proactive terms and leading our young people to a more compelling alternative. Will the students in your classroom be characterized by a fascination with the latest entertainment, the latest distraction, and shallow relationships? Are they going to be the leaders who show others what is real and what is true and what is beautiful in creation? Are we as shepherds, instead of leading, following our sheep, chasing after our sheep, yelling reprimands after our sheep? Or are we scouting over the horizon, finding places to lead them for their benefit, places that they don't even know exist? Vision number three, to envision spiritual outcomes. You're a shepherd in your classroom, but you're not the good shepherd. Does your life point students to our good shepherd? I heard of a school over in Ohio where teachers were asked to wear a button that said, "Follow me as I follow Christ." Can we look our students in the eye and say, "Follow me, follow me, follow me"? There's a saying that goes, when the teacher sneezes, the whole class catches a cold. The teacher's influence is so pervasive. It's funny, when I was in high school, I had a teacher who had a common byword that he would say, you know, whenever something went wrong. It was a bizarre word. He said, "Nerds, nerds." I guess that was an adaptation of nuts or something. I don't know. He said, "Nerds." He said it often. You know what happened? We had a whole classroom full of students that after a while were going around saying, "Nerds!" The teacher's presence, the teacher's example is so powerful. And I would call it the single most powerful factor in any classroom. Scriptures tell us that when a student is fully trained, they will be like their teacher. Can you catch a vision of your whole class following in your footsteps? Is that a vision that brings you joy? I hope so. And if it's not, I have a suggestion that maybe that's a good place to start as you think about life change. Well, I think I ran over time all week long, and so on the last day, I'm going to end up a little early, and that's probably a good thing. Your brains are probably, at this point, really putting a lot of pressure on your skull. I've really enjoyed the opportunity to interact with you this week. I pray that as teachers, we can have an enhanced vision, a vision for academics, A vision for our students' behaviors and actions. A vision for our students' spiritual outcome. That we can see something over the horizon that our students can't yet see. And yet, because we see it so clearly, our students will sense that there's something more, something bigger, and that ultimately it leads back to loving God with all of our being, using our knowledge to amplify our understanding of Him and shepherding all of our students toward the presence of their Creator. Let's pray. Lord, it gives me chills to look out over this audience and think of how these many teachers are going to just spread all across the country and into other countries in the next few hours and days. These teachers are going to have a huge impact on young lives. It's a responsibility on our shoulders that's heavy. It's big. Lord, there's going to be so many things calling their names, so many distractions. Lord, I just ask that they could have a sense of understanding priority, that you would impress the most important priorities on their minds and help them to keep them centered. And of course, the first priority is you. But Lord, I ask that this group of people could become skilled in their craft, that they could draw students towards you, that they could inspire a thirst for learning, and that all that learning would point toward worship for you, that learning would lead toward a building of your church, an expanding of your kingdom, and a great deep-seated joy within the people in this room. Lord, we're blessed to have an opportunity to have this front row seat to the work you're doing in the world. So I just beg that your presence would go with us and guide us. We desperately need it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
For more free resources that support teaching and learning, visit thedocforlearning.org.